Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. I'm going to go a little fast here for a couple of moments because before I look at the Sunday readings, I just want to say that tomorrow, October 22nd, is the feast of Saint John Paul. It gives me great joy to be able to say that. I had the privilege of meeting him, of attending his Holy Mass with him. He was a saint. And how blessed we are. We've recently celebrated Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Saint John Paul, all the saints we've been reading about from past centuries and right up here to the present moment, right up to our generation, our time. There are people who become saints. What about you? What about me? So I really urge you tomorrow to celebrate the feast of Saint John Paul and ask him, beg him to pray for you that you may have the same love for God in your heart as he did, that you have the same desire to follow him as he did. Ask it. Doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. God's grace can be tailored to all our different backgrounds and the work that we do. Ask God for the grace. Ask St. John Paul to intercede for you, to pray for you. Ask Mother Teresa to pray for you. We need saints, brothers and sisters. We need more saints. These are two right out of our time. We need more in this time to overcome the darkness that seems to be covering us more and more. God is greater, and God will triumph. But it's the holiness of our lives. It's our light shining in the darkness that helps to make the difference. God could do it by himself, obviously, in the twinkling of an eye. But he works through us. He never violates our free will. Will you give yourself over to the Lord? Will you make his ways your priority? St. John Paul, pray for us. Pray for us. We look to the first reading now from the book of Sirach, chapter 35, verses 12 to 14 and 16 to 18. We're now looking at the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time, those readings for this Sunday. Sirach 35, 12 to 14 and 16 to 18. The Lord is a God of justice, who knows no favorites. Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard. His petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly, and affirms the right, and the Lord will not delay. Brothers and sisters, Scripture is clearly telling us that none of us can be kept away from being heard by God. God hears the cry of the poor. He hears us in our lowliness, in our weakness, in our misery, in our sinfulness. He hears it. The scriptures tell us, cry out to him full-throated and unsparingly. Full-throated and unsparingly. Cry out to God. Cry out to him with your needs because he hears every need you have. Psalm 34 tells us the Lord hears the cry of the poor. We're all poor in one way or another. We're all weak. We're all sinful. I've been encouraging us all week to put God first, to clarify our priorities, to get rid of our sin by his grace and power, not by you. But he waits for you to make the decision, Lord, I want to break this habit. I want to change this pattern. God hears us, poor in our sin. He hears us. Cry out to him. Don't just say, oh, well, God doesn't hear me. God doesn't even know I exist. God doesn't care about me. Those are lies. They're nothing but lies. He loves me, and I will follow him, and I will choose him. Beginning today by his power and grace, not by my own power, because I don't have it. I'm too weak and too sinful. But I will lean on his power. I will lean on his love. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. You cry out to God out of that spirit, you will be heard. And Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 to 8 and 16 to 18. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation. The time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength so that through me the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul was quite a sinner, brothers and sisters. He repented of his sin. And so he can say, the Lord will rescue me from every evil threat. Don't let past sin say that it disqualifies you. If it did, we were all disqualified because we all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. But if we bow down, if we repent of our sins, if we seek forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation, not only are we forgiven, but we're empowered through that sacrament to change. Take advantage of everything that God has given us. The Lord will rescue me, Paul says, from every evil threat. And he was a notorious sinner. But he has full confidence because his hope is in Christ. It's not in himself. This is not a self-help plan. This is where you cast yourself on the Lord. You respond in the sense that the graces he pours out on you, you've got to put your will behind them. And you've got to make decisions and you've got to work at it. Yes, but the power is from him. And God's power brings things to marvelous conclusions. If we trust in him, rely on him, and follow him. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. You know, if you've been successful in some things, be around the poor for a while, and then you'll know what humility is. If we've been successful in worldly things, we think, I pray. Oh, yeah, I ask God for help. But you really are putting your trust in yourself and your own abilities. God will use your abilities. They came from God. They don't come from you. You're not the source. God is. And so Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness. I can make myself good. And despised everyone else. Look at him. How stupid. I would never do that. How many times have we said those things in our own minds, in our own spirits? Jesus said, here's the parable. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee. And the other was a tax collector. Tax collectors, brothers and sisters, were hated. The Pharisee took up his position. He's a teacher of the law. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Notice he spoke it to himself, not really to God. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity. I'm not greedy or dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. In other words, look at what I have done for you, God. Therefore, grant me my request. That's self. That's focused on self. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Brothers and sisters, all of us have sinned. Every one of us, all of us, have fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. But when we come to the Lord and we humble ourselves, just like this particular person did, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I pray that prayer. I pray a lot. Oh Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I am a sinner. I stand in need of your mercy. I look to you. Will you help me? And of course he will. But that, brothers and sisters, is an act of humility. And God loves humility because it's the truth. I can't save myself. I am not my own God. I belong to one who gave his life for me, who ransomed me by his death on the cross from eternal death. He ransomed me. Should I not be grateful to the one who ransomed me? I didn't create myself. I didn't give myself life. God did. God. Earlier this week, we celebrated the feasts of St. Isaac Jogues and Jean de Brebeuf. And I was thinking of the time, I've mentioned this before on the radio program, I was thinking of the time of being in that field where they were executed, spent some time there just in silence in that field, kneeling on the ground. There's a crucifix, a beautiful crucifix, but that's all. The field is utterly empty, just a crucifix. And I knelt down with some of the sisters in my community, and just in silence, we just knelt there. And I thought of the faith of those men. And they had faith in God because they knew what they had been saved from. All of them had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but they put all their trust in him. All their trust. And they took on his priorities, and they were willing to die for the salvation of others. Brothers and sisters, what about us? Where are we? I begged God for grace in that day in the field. Lord, help me to love you and to choose you and to follow you before anything else and above all for all of my life. May all of us do the same, that God may use us for the salvation of many. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, you can receive my free booklet by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net. From there, select radio, then select food for the journey, and you'll find a great deal of information available to you. God bless you.